The old ones too, which have come through so many different classes, that we've reached that stage where we feel that there is a lot more yet to know. Of course, the new students coming along will have to come slowly. But if you begin to think deeply and don't try and make up in your mind what I'm going to say to you, that is to say, I don't want you to make ideas in your mind of what I want to say to you. I want to clear your mind of all ideas and images, beliefs and so forth, so that that which in itself, which is real in itself, will manifest. We know perfectly well that we read many books about this truth. And many people have got different ideas about the truth. But you will know that all those ideas about the truth are false. They have no truth in them whatsoever, because truth is not an idea. It is not an image. It's not a belief. Now, if your mind is cleansed from all those ideas and beliefs and images about the truth, then you will find that truth is. Truth doesn't have to be. You don't have to create an idea about the truth to say it is the truth. What you've got to do is to eliminate from your mind the ideas you have about the truth, so that the truth being itself, something unknown, because truth is unknown, and no one knows what the truth is. You only know that it is. And therefore, you are a living, and that life is the truth. Just as the Master said, I am the truth, I am the life. Therefore, it is necessary that we should begin clearly at first, not to try and create any ideas in the mind about the truth, because the truth is not an idea, it is not an image, it's not a belief. But the truth is the livingness, your own livingness. But you do not know what life is, just the same as you don't know what electricity is. But nevertheless, it is. Therefore, the teaching that I am giving to you is the Master's teachings that take away from the mind of the individual all the various beliefs and ideas about the truth, so that the truth itself will manifest in its glory and its power, because it is love, wisdom, and power. No one knows what love is, but we know that it is. Wisdom and love are beyond the mind. What's in the mind is not truth. What you create and build up in your own mind is not truth. What you formulate in your mind about the truth is not truth. That's the foundation then you must have in these classes. Otherwise you'll be creating ideas about the truth which will lead you away from. Now, lesson one in this series, love, wisdom, and power are now. This is health, happiness, and abundance. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Matthew 6:22-29. Well, Jesus was talking about something that was beyond the mind, and that was the creative principle that was creative in itself. Solomon was arrayed by his own glory, his clothes, his robes, and so forth, but the lilies in the field were robed with nature. So it was nature that Jesus was looking to, and not to the robes that clothed the man. And it is the same when we realize what Jesus said also in these words, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. Many people wonder at his words, but it's quite simple to understand his words. He was speaking again about that unknowable, the kingdom of God. A little child has no ideas, no images or beliefs about this kingdom of God. Like the majority of people who try and create various ideas, images, and beliefs about the kingdom of God. But the little child is a little child, creative because the Creator created that little child, and therefore the child was not conditioned in any way by his own intellect. Therefore, it was the same words that Jesus used when he said, "Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin." And again, the words are clear enough to us. Unless ye receive the kingdom of God as a little child, ye shall not enter therein. How wonderful that truth is. Because an idea, an image, prevents you from entering into that which really is. Because what you have got in your mind is but an idea of that which is. But I have dispelled with all those ideas. I know that I am. I do not know what it is, but I know that I am. Therefore, free from all ideas of images that limit the expression of that great, infinite life. When I dispose of all those images and beliefs regarding it, what does it take? It manifests itself clearly and easily without effort. I do not try and force it into a pattern or a mold, because you cannot force life into a mold. Life is free and natural. What mankind wants most in the world is a technique that will give him health, happiness, and abundance. Is there such a technique? And how can it be used? There are many books written upon this subject. Health books, books on the mind, how to obtain abundance, etc. But all these books miss the main point. That is, that health, happiness, and abundance are ever present. Otherwise, they could never be. In the beginning, it says, the end is in the beginning. The beginning is in the end. Unless you realize this truth, then you will know that that which is must be. That which can ever be must be now, otherwise it will never be. The infinite universe and the infinite is complete. There is no outside the infinite. If there was anything outside the infinite could not be infinite. And if the infinite was not everywhere, in every particle and every human being, he could not be infinite, because it would be somewhere where he is not. Therefore, it was impossible for him to be infinite. Therefore, in the beginning, the end is, and the end is the beginning. People are taught to run after these things instead of knowing that they are already here. What we must do is to prepare to receive these gifts which are waiting to give expression through those who understand. The first thing necessary is to love our neighbor as ourselves. What a wonderful thing that is. But the majority of people say it can't be done if they can't love their neighbor. But I'm telling you this. Some will say that this is impossible. Then, if this is impossible, health, happiness, and abundance is also impossible. For without love, we cannot receive the great gift that awaits us. Therefore, we must discern that which is preventing the expression of love, wisdom, and power. Therefore, we've got to look into our own minds and see what is preventing us loving our neighbor. What is it in the mind that causes all these inhibitions? Is it not fear, hate, envy, jealousy? Are all these things that are preventing man from expressing his true nature? If you're caught up in these things, you will not know you're caught up in them. You just become them. Is that not so? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if you can discern in your own minds clearly and distinctly, and look at these things, not condemning them, nor identifying yourselves with them, but knowing them for what they are. If you identify yourself with hate, with envy, with jealousy, you become that. If you fear those things, if you condemn those things, are you not caught up in them? You must look upon these things as you look upon a screen, a picture screen, impersonally, unmoved. Then you'll know what's made up in your mind, and you'll be able to dispose of them. It is when you're emotionally caught up with these things, condemning them, fearing them, you can never escape them. Good and evil grew out of the same tree, does it not? It says, there's the one tree and out of which good and evil grows. They grew out of the same tree, they have the same root. The other tree is the tree of life. But good and evil is what man makes up in his own mind in regards to the truth and what is good and evil. But he knows that these things are made up in his own mind, and he knows that life itself is created and free from these opposites. He can look upon this tree, and he says, I shall not eat the fruit thereof, lest I die in my ignorance of that tree which is life itself. So love, wisdom, and power, the ever-present life that leads to complete living now, not some time in the future. For the future doesn't exist in the ever-present. The ever-present is ever-present. The future is something you make up in your mind. Your past experiences become your memories. If your experiences are difficult, you identify yourself with these memories. Will you ever know the ever-living presence if you identify with yourself with this memory of the past that is difficult? If it's always influenced the present, and you always have it before your eyes and in your mind, you must understand it and see it, and will pass away, dissolve into nothingness where it belongs, because it only belongs to the mind. Love, wisdom, and power is beyond mind. It is ever present, it is living present. Therefore, the future is made up in the mind, the past is of the mind, but the ever-living presence is now. I am that living presence. You are that living presence. And this is what is so essential to enable you to dispose of the conditions and the conditioning of your own minds by your memories, by your hopes, by your desires, by your experiences. If your experiences are going to affect the expression of the ever-present life, dissolve them away. Is the ever-present life much more important than your memories or the future? It is the ever-present life. That was the Master Jesus, and he was the greatest exponent of the love, wisdom, and power that is beyond the mind. But he could not know of it unless he had dissolved everything that was preventing its true expression. We must look into our hearts, not by introspection, but by finding the cause behind the adverse conditioning of our minds and bodies. Then these things will melt away before the rising sun of our divine consciousness. Introspection is a hindrance to the expression of that which is real. And it is essential that we look into our minds not as introspection, but to look to see what is there, how we are conditioned, and what has conditioned us. When our conditioning has dissolved away, love, wisdom, and power, which are ever present, will manifest immediately. In this alone is health, happiness, and abundance. But the idea of health, happiness, and abundance carries with it its opposites all the time. Health carries with it its opposite, ill health. Happiness carries with it its sorrow, and abundance carries with it its lack. Why do you want abundance? Because you lack something. Why do you want happiness? Because you are in sorrow. Why do you want health? Because you are in ill health. Is that not so? Of course it is, and you're living in opposites. How can you ever express the ever-living present life if you're living in opposites continuously? Many will say it cannot be done, but others have done it, and so can we. It has been done by those we call masters, but masters are not separate from us. We are expressing the same life. The only difference is that the conditioning which we have allowed to take place is not present with them. Jesus was the greatest exponent of love, wisdom, and power. He was that because he dissolved all that was preventing the expression of love, wisdom, and power. Can you express power if you're in fear? Can you express health if you're in health? Can you express abundance if you are in lack? Health, happiness, and abundance are now. They don't have to be created. They are the living expression of the eternal ever-present. Neither of the past nor the future can influence unless you allow that influence to take place in your own minds. Now, we do not create love, wisdom, and power. They are ever-present. You don't create anything that's ever-present. They are ever-present and wait for us to prepare the way for their true expression. When you switch on the light, you expect a light, and if all things are prepared for it, the electricity that is waiting will express itself in the form of light. Life, which is love, wisdom, and power, is likewise waiting to give expression to those who are prepared to receive. Then how can you receive? Unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. Out of that which is formless comes the form. Out of love, wisdom, and power come health, happiness, and abundance. I have come that you may have life and more abundant life. What is it preventing the expression of this great abundant life? Is it not because our minds are bound by the paralyzing suggestions that come from the crude thinking of the race? Suggestions are accepted without question and acted upon. If we are not aware every moment, we condition ourselves by these suggestions through our actions and reactions. Are you aware every moment? Being aware is watching. Knowing that which is false, And when you know that which is false, it doesn't enter therein. A suggestion that is false will enter into the mind that is not aware, easily and quickly. And that mind is bound by these paralyzing suggestions because that mind is not aware. To beware of the false all the time is the protection against the paralyzing suggestions that come from every side. We fear and worry about the external, but the external has no power of its own. Yet we react to it as it has all power. So we create sickness, unhappiness, and lack. We are always reacting to the external, are we not? We give it a power it does not possess. But it is not the external that harms us by any way. It can't jump up and bite you. It can't hit you in the nose or the face or the cheek or hit you under the chin. It can't knock you out. Well, what is it that causes all this destruction? It's the way you react. You create it in your own mind. It's a self-created, a self-conditioning process through your reactions to the things external to yourselves, giving them a power they have no possession of. If you live in the ever-present life, you will know that that life is all power. It is creating, and anything that is created has no power of its own, only the uncreated, which is creating, has that power. Modern science has revealed that light and sound are simply different intensities of motion. So are our thoughts. Matter is mind materialized and consciousness being created, acts upon mind substance underlying all form. As life alone has consciousness, we see how we create conditions through our ignorance of the truth of our being. Being now, not becoming. I told you in the last series of lectures, I dealt with becoming very effectively. Because I want you to see the difference of becoming and being. Being is now. If God is living in you, which he must be, you can't make God anything else, can you? You can't become anything else, can you? That is being now. But if you want to become something, you're going away from it. You're going away from being, and you have lost the great and mighty power of life. You're trying to force life into a channel of your own making, a cage in which you imprison yourselves in, a cage of your own making. Many people are not aware that they are conscious at all. They are only aware of the external, and consequently they react in fear, worry, anxiety, etc., so creating their own conditioning. The external does not condition us. It's our reactions that condition us. And when we become aware of this, we can free ourselves and not before. When you know that you are conditioning yourselves, and you know how you are conditioning yourselves, you can free yourself. Our reality cannot be measured by our present standard of thought because we cannot conceive the tremendous power that is inherent within us. Jesus gives us the key when he says, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? To you and to many people, it's just a saying, a platitude. To me it is not. It's a reality. And Jesus knew what he was saying when he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Even a glimpse into the inner quality of man's consciousness will reveal that there is nothing impossible when we realize the divine power of love, wisdom, and power that lies behind our consciousness. Love is creative. It is the only creative thing that is. Wisdom is not of man's mind. Wisdom is beyond man's mind. What's in man's mind is intellect, an idea of wisdom, an idea of love. He says that God is love, and he praises God because God is love. Is that any value to him at all by saying God is love? Of course it is not. But when man realizes that he himself is love, then it's a different thing altogether. He gives expression to it because he'll begin to see what is preventing the expression of it. It is true that thought is the projection of our own consciousness, yet our thought is conditioned by our lack of understanding. Thought does not originate by itself. Thought mostly originates through our reactions to the external. Without consciousness, there could be no thought at all. What the consciousness is aware of is the cause of thought. And you will know that thought then is the expression of your own feelings. That's why your bodies are so affected by the power of your thought. Therefore, understanding determines the quality of our thinking. To understand ourselves. If I don't understand myself, how can I go further? Can I go any farther if I do not understand myself? If I do not understand that I'm greedy, that I'm envious, I'm this and I'm that, how can I go beyond it? I will still be envious, I'll still be greedy, I'll still be this and I'll still be that. But if I understand why I am that and how I am conditioned, then I can get beyond it. I wish I could give you the understanding, but you must find it for yourselves. It comes. It's there, waiting to give expression to itself now. Now we know that life alone is conscious. Consciousness is life. Life is God. Therefore, we can become aware that the life is. But if our minds are full of beliefs, reactions, and paralyzing suggestions that come from fear of any kind, even a fear of God, we are lost in our own conditioning, the conditioning of our mind. Our external consciousness will be caught up in the conditioning. It begins to affect our bodies and circumstances. And immediately your consciousness becomes caught up in this conditioning, then your body and your mind must suffer. But to know that health, happiness, and abundance are ever present, I do not have to create them. It's not an idea of them, because if I hold an idea of them, I'll always have the opposite, waiting to take their place. I'll always be afraid of lack. I'll be afraid of ill health. I'll be afraid that I will not be happy, because I will experience sorrow. But if I experience sorrow, I will know why I experience sorrow. If I experience lack, I will know why I do so. And if I experience ill health, then I will know that I am conditioned and how I have been conditioned. But that which is not conditioned. It is free. Therefore, if I dissolve my conditioning, life that is free expresses. I am the life. Oh, to look into the mind of Jesus, to see the tremendous understanding, the truth that he knew. But his truth is your truth, my truth, every other truth, because of the one fact, it's the one life. And when we do as he did, we find that same life, that same power, that same love, that same abundance that is ever present. Therefore, it's useless reading books about how you can acquire life, how you can acquire love, wisdom, and abundance, if you do not understand the fundamental principles. When consciousness knows its own creative power, thought becomes the spearhead of our creativeness, because we begin to understand its laws. Just as we begin to understand the laws of electricity, man has not yet touched the fringe of what electricity can do. Neither have we touched the fringe of what life can do until we give it free expression. And free expression can only come when we have prepared for it. It is by diligent observation and awareness of what we are doing that enables us to discard the cause that prevents life's full expression. In verse 15, Mark 10, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." Lest the mind is free from beliefs, images, ideas, confusion, conflict of opposites, tradition, dogmas, creeds, or anything that separates man from man, we cannot enter into the kingdom, nor can the kingdom express itself through such a conditioned mind. Man separated from man. What separates man from man? His beliefs, of course. His ideas, his different religions, his creeds, his dogmas, his traditions, his nationalities, his so-called social structure and so forth, and all these stupid things that man creates for his own downfall. Why do we want leaders? Because we are confused, that's why. When we are not confused, we don't need any leaders. It's only when we are confused we want a leader to show us the way. And our leaders are very often more confused than ourselves, so we're all dragged into the ditch. How do you get rid of your confusion? By noting that which is false, by discerning that which is in your own mind, by discerning that which is holding man and separating man from man, by discerning all that is false. Then you shall have confidence. And confidence, we don't need any leaders. It's only when you're confused that you need leaders. Or is it not so that we think in accordance with our conditioning? Proper understanding of this fact will produce results with invariable exactitude. I am the life, is knowing, but you cannot know what life is. If there is separation in your mind, you will not be able to express life, because life is one whole. There is no separation in it. How can life express itself through a limited mind, a mind that's conditioned? If in any way you consciously or unconsciously separate yourself from another, then you do not understand. For life is not separated in any way. So you may say that you are life a million times, but it will do nothing for you. You only bring the idea into your own conditioning, into this cage you have created for yourself. Therefore, you can repeat a million times, "I am the life." It will be of no value to you. It becomes an idea only.
If I could hear all those ideas and beliefs. You know, the grown up is such stupid people. They accept this and that, they've got various ideas and that, all in opposition to one another, and they're all confused. What you formulate in your mind is not truth. What you make up in your mind is not truth. I can see how Jesus wept. When we learn that love, wisdom, and power come from within, we will find that we are weak only when we fail to recognize this, or when we believe it comes from without, or through our becoming. Love, wisdom, and power are now, and when we are prepared for it, it expresses itself in its perfect trinity, having power over all things, great or small. Immediately we comprehend this great fundamental truth, we acquire the attitude of mind that works miracles. Everything in the universe is electromagnetic. Science has proved this to us. Yet the secret of electromagnetism has not been fathomed. Electromagnetism is the secret of the universe. If we had the secret of electromagnetism, we could travel from here to Venus in a few hours. We could travel to Mars and to Jupiter probably in 24 hours and return. Electromagnetism is the magnetizing of the ether. And the ether is everywhere, there is nowhere where it is not. Light travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. But it is that particle of light that causes the ether to be affected. It magnetizes the ether. Sound travels at 750 miles an hour. But I can speak into a radio, and my voice will be boosted up to the vibration of light, the speed of 186,000 miles per second, and it will be heard right over the world at the same time. It will be heard up in the stratosphere, down the bowels of the earth, and across the surface of the earth, because ether interpenetrates the earth, it's the bowels of the earth, it goes right through up into the stratosphere, it is everywhere. Therefore, you can hear that broadcast all over the world at the same time, because ether carries it. It passes through matter. Ether is the basis of this matter and the framework with which it's built. Vibrations of light pass through these walls because of the fact that ether passes through those walls too, and carries the vibration with it. Ether interpenetrates right through into the very walls of the atoms, into the very core of the atoms of your body that makes up the cells of your body. Thought travels at the same speed as light. Thought also magnetizes the ether, and these vibrations pass through the ether into the very cores of the atoms of your body and change and transform the body. It's just lucky for you that that fundamental principle of life still exists. Otherwise, you'd have blown yourself sky high by this time. But here we have that very power of the cosmic ray that comes from the sun and passes through the most tiniest of ethers, causing the etherons to change. Therefore, the cosmic ray causes the etherons to disintegrate matter. It will cause it to create matter and disintegrate matter. It creates the flower, causes the flowers to grow and the flowers to disintegrate. It causes the rain to fall. It takes the water up into the sky. The cosmic ray does everything. And within the cosmic ray also is a consciousness, an intelligence that is outpicturing the divine plan. And nothing can stop it. Man can,
interfere and transform his own body and matter, but he can never touch the cosmic ray.
The beginning and the end are one. In the end is the beginning, and the beginning is the end. We haven't got time to go into this very interesting question of these particular rays. But if you have sufficient sense, you will see what I'm driving at. You will know. What is most important to you is this, that your own thoughts and feelings have an effect upon the structure of your body and transform the atoms. If you then understand how your conditioning comes about, and why you think because you are conditioned, and how your thoughts are expressed because you are conditioned. If you understand that, then your conditioning will fall away. And life itself, the glorious life that is perfect in itself, will express itself. Do I look any older than I was last year? I don't think I do, do I? Huh? Don't you think I'm a little bit younger? Well, realize the whole truth that if you are conditioned, know how you're conditioned. It's quite simple. There's nothing difficult about it. Requires a little bit of courage sometimes. Everything in the universe is electromagnetic. Science has proved this to us. Yet the secret of electromagnetism has not been fathomed. We know that there is only one mind in the whole universe, out of which all must come, out of which all must exist. Therefore, electromagnetism is mind in action. Electricity is derived from the same mind, for there can be nothing outside the divine mind, being infinite in nature. Therefore, everything is possible in that mind, and we are in it, for we cannot be outside it. Therefore, electricity is in our divine mind. It is not something apart and distinct from divine mind, because there is nothing outside. I have said before that thought is electromagnetic force which causes a change to take place in the atoms of matter. When we fully comprehend this, we will have a power beyond measure. But this power will remain dormant until we are aware of the law upon which it works, just as electricity remained dormant until we learn the laws upon which it acted. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Why? Because he was aware of that which in itself was everything. And the law upon which it worked was simple. For he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, this is very difficult to understand. These words seem words to you, but to me they are different. Jesus knew that the power was within, and his consciousness was the ruling factor. He walked upon the water, he healed as easy as breathing, he fed the multitude, he did all these things. Why? Because he was not conditioned in any way whatsoever. He was free. In that freedom, life, which is itself continually expressing itself, consciousness then creates electromagnetic flow or activity that causes matter to transform into something else. Therefore, he changed water into wine, as simple as you breathe. I can see, I can understand the master's mind. I can see how grand it was and how easy and simple he put it in these words, thy faith hath
made me whole. Can you grasp it now? He knew the action of this power and the means by which it could be put into operation. Jesus said these words, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What a wonderful truth. He was the Son of God not by choice, but through understanding. That is why he said, in other words, all things are possible with God, but without God nothing is possible. According to our understanding, so it will be unto us. We have not yet tapped the millionth part of the power of God within us, yet he is there waiting to express himself when we make a plea for him. We do not have to create him, for he is creator in and through us, when we understand that the Father, whoever remains within us, is performing his own deeds. Therefore, through understanding, we establish the eternal truth of our being, that we are not separate from God, nor are we separate from our neighbor, because God is our neighbor, he is ourselves. That is to say, unless you love your neighbor as yourself, then you cannot have that happiness, that peace that comes with love, with understanding.
What we see in our neighbor, we see within ourselves, for there can be no other place where we can become conscious of what we see. Everything you see, you must become conscious of it within yourself. It can't become conscious outside yourself. Therefore, what you see in your neighbor is in yourself. You create it in your own mind. You build it up in your own mind. And it's in your own mind, is it not? Light is but a vibration that the eye receives. It passes through the optic center into the various portions of the brain, these centers that give it dimension and interpretation and so forth. And you build up the picture according to your experience, according to your memory cells, and you build up a picture of what you see. Where do you build it up? Not outside yourself, do you? You build it up in yourselves, and what you see in your neighbor is in yourselves. So Jesus knew that perfectly well, and he said clearly, take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite, and then you will see better how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. In truth, our neighbor reveals us to ourselves, if we are wise enough to discover it. It may take a long time for some to become aware of this truth, but the sooner they understand this, the sooner they will discard that which is preventing love, wisdom, and power from manifesting now, for it is immediate when we clear the way for the Lord. It does not come by time. How can the timeless come into operation through time? The timeless is now. And that is immediate. The very expression of God is immediate now. Put away your conditioning then, and you will experience that which is ever present. I've often drawn the simile that there are millions of lights in a city, but only one electricity. So without electricity, there could be no lights. In the same way, we see one life within each individual. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he knew this great and mighty truth. But he could not have known it until he had dissolved all that was false. It is essential to know this for ourselves through experience and not just through ideas which are merely intellectual. We can talk about the truth until doomsday, but it avails us nothing. We must experience truth before it becomes a conscious reality. We can only experience truth as Jesus said. We must receive the kingdom of God as a little child.
free from the mental conditioned ideas, beliefs, creeds, and the like, which separate man from man. For in the kingdom of God there is no division, and there is no separation. This state of consciousness becomes the awareness of our being, which means that we experience life here and now to the full. According to our understanding, so will it be unto us. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so unto them. Matthew 7:12. Benedict. O fountain of love, wisdom, and power, make us discern all that is preventing our hearts from being flooded by thy omnipresence. O mighty source of all things, we were lost in the sands of short-lived sense satisfaction and forgot that thou alone existed forever. Through our craving we have been swept through the lowland rivers of passion and strife, torn by the jutting rocks of opposites. O omnipresent love, we have at last discerned the cause, and now emerge in the ocean of all fulfillment in thee. Now we no longer feel the draught of dreary selfishness that came from our sense of separation.